What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Recovered by Kobe Johnson. Now to Swolt, weaving through traffic. Cross court to Jimerson. NBA range. Bang! Jimerson in transition.
Started with the Robbie Avila block once again. Isaiah with a beautiful cross court to Gibby in the rhythm of the catch. And another 10-point lead.
A fun moment for sure as St. Louis University got a big win against St. Bonaventure earlier in the week, 73-68. And what do you know? The Billikens are 3-0 in Atlantic 10 play. You just heard Bob Ramsey. Let's go ahead and bring him on to the program, play-by-play voice of the Billikens. Rammer, appreciate you taking some time. I know you got eyes on the college football game all at the same time, so thanks for finding some time for us as well.
Well, yeah, that's what we do, right? Because I'm sure that there's not a monitor without the football game on where you are, too.
No, we are, we're definitely paying attention for sure. Hey, what's, I know a lot of things lead to a team kind of finding a new rhythm, but it really feels like since conference play has gotten started, this Billikens team has found that new gear.
There are a number of factors in my view. One of them is the gradual health and stability of Robbie Avila's ankle. That was, for those who've forgotten, he rolled it pretty bad twice in a couple of weeks' time. And I think that started to come back, and he started to feel like himself again, started to get his legs back under him. And I think one of the things that Coach Schertz had been disappointed in the first 6 weeks of the season, and that is an inability to run their defense efficiently, stopping straight line drives, trusting each other, understanding what the team defensive concepts were. And I think that has gradually come about. Still not perfect, but it's gradually come about. And I think tried with so many injuries for the coaching staff just to figure out, okay, what do we have and what do we have with matchups and a rotation tonight on a given night? And I think all those things and others have started to come together a little bit for the Billikens, and it really makes a difference. The one thing that you still have hope for is even better health, guys getting healthy. In particular, Kellen Thames, the Pattonville High School, former Pattonville High School star, Matt, who, you know, has a situation where instead of giving you the 25, 30 minutes a night, he's been restricted to under 15. And we saw he was just in his, I think it was 13:40, something like that the other night, was absolutely dynamic on both ends of the floor. And if you can get Kellen even up to 20 minutes a game, that is a huge boost for this club. So I think there's a lot more growth possible for this squad.
Is it fair to say that when Avila was out with the ankle issue, that really slowed down Coach Schertz's ability to kind of put in his offense and put in what he wanted to do because he wasn't available to be in there for practice?
Oh yeah, without question. Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, you still had guys playing and contributing and competing, but this has been a learning process ever since the staff and the players came in June. And it's admittedly a pretty steep learning curve to play they want to play, the way they want to play. And Coach mentioned to me the other night that one of the keys is when your players start to get it and can execute, we're talking in particular offense here, can execute offense with the coach without the coach having to sort of be the maestro and orchestrate each and every play, when the players start to get it and start to feel it at the same time, he goes, that's when this thing starts to click.
You've been around this game for a long time. Is there something liberating about when you have a you have high expectations going into the season, you have a non-conference season that does not meet expectations, when you turn the calendar and get to conference play and these games really start having meaning again, does that give a team almost this new sense of life and purpose?
If you win.
Yeah.
Now, if you were 1-2 or God forbid 0-3, not very liberating, but they kept. I think the key is I think what you're talking about is timing and getting better as the season goes on. Some teams do that. The good teams keep getting better as they go. Some teams kind of stagnate and kind of putz around and, you know, never really find that extra gear. And some teams regress. Some teams start playing well and then they get into the grind of their conference. And we look up and down the standings of some of the great conferences around the country, and it is a grind, and they start to fall apart. The grind of it eats them up. So, but when you've got a team that knows that they have room to grow and it's a legitimate potential to grow, you know, you're not asking a walk on to suddenly start scoring 20 points a game. That's silly. It's unrealistic. But I'll go back to Kellen Thames. We've seen what Kellen can do. And so as he's able to play more and more, you see how that dynamic will definitely affect the way the team goes. And with the big three, with Robbie and the Swope Show and Gibson Jimerson, when you've got those three guys clicking and healthy, you know, there's your core. That's what you build around. And then it's a matter of having the other players figuring out where they fit in.
Gibson's in a really interesting spot because he was around before, and you know, he's put into that big three with those other two guys, but those other two guys have been, you know, familiar with Coach Schertz and familiar with the system. What have you seen, and how much do you get the sense that Jimerson has enjoyed kind of assimilating both with those other two guys and also being part of this Josh Schertz system?
Well, I know he loves it, and it fits perfectly with the way he likes to work and his work ethic, and he is a marvelous worker and a great guy, and he's one of those guys that's a good teammate. He's a very quiet person, but he leads by example and putting the work in, and even on those rare nights, it's only been a couple really all year, maybe three, that shots aren't really falling for him, or he's, you know, been the top of the scouting chart for the opposition, and he really can't, they don't let him get loose. Even on those nights, the work rate never falls. The work rate is always there because there's always ways to help in getting to open space and setting screens and passing and doing all the other things you do to be a great basketball player. So I think you're right. He is flourishing in this system, but I think that's kind of what we all expected. We all expected with a little more freedom and other weapons to help provide that freedom, that there was no reason that Gibson Jimerson shouldn't have a great final season.
Billikens get the weekend off, and then they've got a big test coming up this week. They'll go to VCU and Richmond Tuesday, Saturday of next week. This VCU game, VCU's good. They've got a good record. They've got wins against Boston College and Miami and Colorado State. I mean, this is nothing against St. Bonaventure. That was a good test and a really good win. But are we going to learn something about the Billikens come Tuesday?
Yeah, and keep in mind, St. Bonaventure beat VCU. And so this is going to be a challenge. You know, the Billikens have never won at VCU. Zero victories there. So you've got that bugaboo, that jinx, that thing hanging over your head. It's a little bit of a different VCU as I see him from afar, not having seen him in person yet, obviously, in that maybe a little more offensive-minded, a little more three-point shooting-minded, and then and maybe not the relentless, absolutely smothering 94 feet of defense. I'm not suggesting they're not a good defensive team. They are. but a slightly different look. So why do I bring that up? Maybe it gives you hope to go into one of the great atmospheres in college basketball and find a way to win. And the Billikens are a different team. VCU's not played a Josh Church team. So this is going to be a real interesting showdown on Tuesday, but it will absolutely be a tall challenge.
Last thing for you before we get you out of here, quick baseball question. Are you worn out on the Nolan Arenado talk? Are you ready for there just to be some finality to this whole thing?
Well, you know I am, and I've always been a fan of Arenado, and his agent and their strategy is confusing to me, and I expect it someday we'll talk all about it. I really thought the Astros thing made great sense for him, for the Astros, for the Cardinals. It just seemed like, oh, yeah, of course, they'll get that deal done. And then Arenado and his people back out. And the other things we're hearing, you know, Boston, a couple of other spots, it doesn't seem to make as much sense. But I'm not the one working with his contracts and what makes him happy. You know, the bottom line for a player, don't run from happiness. Where are you going to be happy? Well, and that's where you want to play, right? And will they be able to get it done? You know, I think that I know the Cardinals would like to have some clarity there so they know how to move forward with their young players in that third base spot. But it has not been an easy process. And I will tell you, Matt, because I am a fan, and he's as good a third baseman as we've ever seen in St. Louis for sure. If he's back at the hot corner for the Cardinals, and whether he's hitting third or sixth, I don't care, because he's a really good player. So it's going to work out one way or the other, and I know the Cardinals want to move him, but until there's some real news, it's kind of hard to really get beyond it.
Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., though, of the call of the Billikens and VCU at VCU coming up Tuesday night, 6 o'clock tip. That means our coverage begins at 5:45. Rammer, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the football game, and we'll talk real soon.
Have a great weekend, Matt, and all the KMOX listeners. Talk to you Tuesday.
Awesome. Very good. That's Bob Ramsey joining us here on the program. We appreciate him spending a little bit of time with us. Yeah, it's an interesting game coming up against VCU coming up on Tuesday. And Rammer's right when he mentions the fact that VCU did lose to St. Bonaventure. Now, they lost at St. Bonaventure, not at home. And it was a really, really tight game, 77-75. Yeah, but that's a good VCU team, and they scheduled – well this year. I mentioned some of those teams that they've got wins against. They won a neutral site game against Boston College. They won a neutral site game against Miami. They won a neutral site game against Colorado State. So they've played a good number of neutral site games against some solid teams and come away with victories. And now this is going to be one of their tougher games. But it's been fun being able to watch what's going on with SLU here since conference play got started. Really, you look at everything going on college basketball wise when it comes to the major conference teams. Again, not taking anything obviously away from the MVCs and the OVCs that we have in the area, but just specifically when you're talking about SLU, Mizzou, and Illinois, the stories have been pretty darn good. Pretty darn good for the most part of what's going on. Mizzou basketball, it was good to see them get a league win after going winless in league play last year. They were able to come away with the win their last time out when they knocked off LSU, and they're going to play host to Vanderbilt in a game that's going to be coming up tomorrow. And then also Illinois has just been – I like this Illinois team a lot. They're fun to watch. They play hard. It seems like they're just a Brad Underwood coach team, and that's a good thing. Like this is a good group for Underwood to be coaching. Up to number 13 in the nation, they're going to match up against USC in a game that's taking place in Champaign coming up tomorrow. So good stuff all the way around when it comes to college basketball. And we're coming up on that time, you know, as college football really is wound down. We're just one game left after tonight. At that point, we can really start to focus in on what's going on in college basketball. College basketball conference play, man, it goes by fast. It starts right around the start of the new year, and before you know it, we're talking conference tournaments, and we're talking March Madness, and we're talking all these things. It happens incredibly quickly. So if you're not paying attention, sometimes it sneaks up on you. If you're not paying attention to what's going on in the world of college basketball, might be worth your time, because we've got some really, really good stories in the area for sure. And we're going to work on talking to some more folks connected with those programs here moving forward. We are going to shift back to baseball in just a moment or so. It is a Friday, so what do we do on Friday? We bring in our guy Kevin Wheeler, talk our weekly baseball conversation with him. That's up next. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.